Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Since this is true, that while we rest, God still works, why don't we rest more and let Him work? Why don't we? I can tell you why. We don't trust. We don't let go of things. We hold on to them. The idea of resting is you let it go. The problem with letting it go is this: I don't know what God will do with it. I mean, I've been really trying to go this way, and if I let it go, He might actually leapfrog me over here or something. I won't go where I'm trying to go. That's why you don't rest.
Did you know that there's a difference between rest and sleep? Lots of the time, people equate the two. The Bible talks a lot about rest. Pastor Troy will be teaching about the biblical concept of rest. He'll talk about what this type of rest looks like in your life. You'll find out how it's helpful for you and what happens when you don't take advantage of it. You'll find out how this benefits your family, your work life, and your relationship with God. You'll discover this is another way that God's shown His love for you. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 5, verses 17 through 24. When you grow up in the church, you can learn this little cliche, and it's something like this. No matter what the question, the answer is Jesus. Yeah, so kids don't always get that. No matter what the question is, little Johnny, the answer is Jesus. It can be a little confusing for them. There was this little story. A Sunday school class had a teacher that was talking about Noah's Ark. She wanted to be very creative and get the students to interact. And so the teacher said to the class, "I'm going to describe something, and let's see if you can guess what it is." So she began. "First, I'm furry. I have a bushy tail. I like to climb trees." And she waited. No real response. They looked a little confused by the question. So she continued, "I also like to eat nuts, especially acorns." And they were still silent, kind of looking around at each other. Again, she continued, "I'm usually brown or gray, but sometimes I can be black or even red." And they're still just sitting in silence, looking at each other, eyes wide open. Well, the teacher was desperate, so she turns to a little perky four-year-old who usually came up with the answers and said, "Michelle, what do you think?" Michelle looked around at the room, at the other students, and very hesitantly said to the teacher, "Well, I know the answer has to be Jesus, but it sounds a lot like a squirrel to me." Jesus isn't the answer to every single question. What color is my shirt? Jesus. However, He knows the answer to every question. He has the solution to every problem. He's the one that we should go to. And Jesus is a very important historical figure. He's so important, think about it. Whenever somebody writes down the date, they acknowledge that He was here. Because our dating system revolves around His first coming. It was B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Now, lately, they have been trying to change the dating system. The world is trying to get rid of everything that might point to Christ as being such an important and central figure. And so there's a new system, BCE and CE. Maybe you've seen those dates now. It's before the Common Era and the Common Era. The problem is it's the same numbers. And so it's still a point. They've gotten rid of the name now, But the truth is still the same. Jesus came and our timeline divides around him. That's how important he is. So every time someone pins a date on a document, they testify to the fact that this single individual came and changed everything as we know it. Everything. Today, Jesus answers the question about who he is, why he's so important. It's all about who he is. And he claims equality with God. Let me give some context before we take off. Now, Jesus just healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. The problem is he did it on the Sabbath. The religious leaders couldn't really rejoice over that because they were so into the Sabbath and following the rules. They couldn't celebrate. They were worried that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. And it says they were so angry about it, they wanted to kill him. That's pretty mad. And now Jesus responds to them, to their reaction in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So here's what's going on. They, out of their own mouths, understand he just made a statement that causes him to be equal with God. He's like saying, "I'm equal with God." There are lots of people who say that Jesus never made these claims, and we'll touch on that in a moment. But what's going on is this. They got onto Jesus for working on the Sabbath. God said we should not work on the Sabbath. And so Jesus is working on the Sabbath, so he can't be from God. But what Jesus does is he brings him to his Father. First he goes, "My Father works continually, even on the Sabbath, until now. And so I, like my Father, continue working even on the Sabbath." And the idea is this. Do you see some resemblance? It's not like Jesus was trying to get ahead or trying to earn that extra dollar on the Sabbath. He was doing the work of God to show compassion. He was doing the things that God does all the time. When Jesus refers to God or the Father, when he refers to him as his Father, it's not like we do. We all say it as, you know, his children. We're all his children, all the children of the world. And so we refer to him as God the Father. He's the Father of all. You're born again into the family. Jesus wasn't referring to being born again into the family. Jesus was referring to him as of the same nature. A personal, intimate, unlike anyone else relationship. They understood what he was saying because they came back and wanted to kill him all the more because he claimed to be equal with God. Verse 18 is actually one of the strongest verses in the Bible that shows that Jesus claimed to be God. And what's interesting is that it comes from the mouth of his enemies. It wasn't the only time that he made the claim. We'll skip the different times, but in John chapter 10, they, the religious leaders, will say to him, almost like, "We're tired of this. Why is it that you, being a man, are always making yourself out to be God?" They said it themselves. You've heard of a cult, right? Most cults, where they err the most, and they err in lots of places, but where they err the most is in who they make Jesus out to be. He's less than God. One of the first tests, you go to a church, do you believe Jesus is God? If they say no, or they go, "Well, it's complicated," leave. It's not that complicated. Just go. It's not the right place. But most cults try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because if you can separate Jesus from God, then you can follow this other prophet. Or this other, there's multiple ways. Or for some, no, our way is correct. You got to follow this prophet because you've taken Jesus out of the equation. But Jesus himself, well, let me just put it this way. Jesus never claimed to be just a man. Jesus could have very easily said, "Stop it, stop it. I'm just a man." He never even hinted that that was true. In fact, I'm not going to piece it all together, but if I were to piece together what Jesus has said about himself, listen. I am living water. I'm the bread of life. I'm the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I came down from heaven. I predated Abraham. I am the door of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Those are just some of the claims that Jesus made out of his own mouth. Now, does that sound like a mere man? No, not unless he's crazy. Jesus did claim, I don't care who says he didn't, Jesus did claim equality with God because he's God. Hebrews says this, somebody finally got it. Jesus is the exact representation of his being. In other words, if God appeared as a body, as a human, that's what Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. So Jesus says, I am of the same nature as the Father, my Father. They hated that he said this. And then he says, just as my Father is continually working, I continue to work. I don't stop. Just like he doesn't stop, I don't stop doing that work. You know that God doesn't take a Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't for God. And the Sabbath, actually, Jesus said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. In other words, we're not made to submit to the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. See, Israel, they had been slaves in Egypt for a long time. You know how many days you get off as a slave? None. Right. So they didn't know what it meant to have a day off. So God came in and established, you guys need time to focus and remember that I'm God. It's not a day to do nothing and forget about me. It's a day to focus on me. A day to recognize what I did. Remember what I've done. Remember all that I am doing. Look at me. So no one who takes what we might call a Sabbath time today should be a time devoid of God, but centered on him. The other is just merely a human vacation, not a Sabbath.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. And then we know that Paul came in and later said, it's just another day. We're not bound by the Sabbath. It wasn't made to control us. It was given to us as a day that we need. You guys know we need those times to rest and to reflect on who God is, what he's done, what he is doing. Maybe you've gone through this yourself where you kind of forget God's in control. You start going, man, it's chaos and you're going crazy and you think everything's out of control and oh my goodness. And then somebody comes in and speaks that real simple truth. Hey, yeah, but remember God's in control. And you go, oh, that's right. I forgot. We need those moments, but God actually commands that we take them. We need to take time. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be Saturday or Saturday night. Paul said, each man esteems a different day important. He says, every day is the Lord's. Find time and devote your heart to the Lord. Remember him. Consider him. And so, God doesn't take a Sabbath because he doesn't need a Sabbath. In fact, we can't afford for him to take a Sabbath. Can you imagine if God took a day off? Yeah. Well, God rested on the Sabbath day. It doesn't mean he did nothing. Trust me. You know why he rested on the seventh day? Because after 6 days, he was done. He finished his work and he rested on the seventh day. I know Genesis is the one that gives us that account. God made the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh day, but he never stopped working. He sustains the universe. Do you know how long he can take a vacation from that? Never. How long can he stay out of your life and just let you do what you're going to do? Well, you might think longer than he would think. He's constantly pouring out love and mercy, even on the Sabbath, even on Saturday, even on Sunday. He's still there. When you pray, it's not like you get, zzz, zzz, zzz. Oh man, he turns his phone off on the Sabbath, man. Can't get a hold of God. No, he's always there. So God doesn't take a Sabbath, and that's Jesus' point. Look, when it comes to the work of God, he is working continually, and so am I. Do you recognize a resemblance? Here's the point. Even when you're resting, because God commands that we do, when you stop working, when you stop trying to get ahead and get everything done and do all that you feel you need to do, when you rest, because God says you need it, you can trust that God is still working. That everything God wants you to have, he's got it. You don't have to keep trying to get it all together. You don't have to keep trying to make it happen. You put things in his hands. And when he leads you beside a time of rest, when it's time to come to church or go to bed early or whatever it is, you can do it. Because God says, I've got it. Would you just leave it alone? Psalm 121 verses 1 through 4 says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't even sleep. We need to be recharged with sleep, rest. We also need time to set aside. It's time devoted for the Lord. It's time you need to give to him as an offering. But I can't get stuff done. Well, and that means you trust him. I can't get it done, but I trust the one who can. And maybe in that time, he'll show me, you're spinning your wheels. I don't want you to get this done. This is all you. I want you actually spending your time on something else. Your family's being neglected, or this is happening. God speaks to our hearts. Now, since this is true, that while we rest, God still works, why don't we rest more and let him work? Why don't we? I can tell you why. We don't trust. We don't let go of things. We hold on to them. The idea of resting is you let it go. The problem with letting it go is this. I don't know what God will do with it. I mean, I've been really trying to go this way, and if I let it go, he might actually leapfrog me over here or something. I won't go where I'm trying to go. That's why you don't rest. Because when we're in God's car, when he's driving, you can fall asleep when it's time to sleep. You can rest. You can relax. So Jesus claims equality with God by showing them, I work continually. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Second way they're alike. They both perform wonders. Jesus has just healed a man who couldn't walk. That's a miracle. Jesus did that. And Jesus could kind of lean in on them and think, and who do the miracles remind you of? Not Uncle Jesse. Who do the miracles remind? Who do they? Well, it'd be your Father in heaven. The God who led you out of Egypt. The God who parted the seas. In fact, he says it this way. It's the Father's heart to do these things. And I am only doing what's in the Father's heart to do, even the stuff done on the Sabbath. So he's saying, look, you're getting on to me for the Sabbath, but I only do what the Father wants me to do. If the Father said, it's the Sabbath, rest, don't do any of this, then that's exactly what Jesus would have done. So Jesus is saying, look, this is what the Father wants, the one you claim to worship. He said to do this. You're not opposing just a mere human, you're opposing God. So Jesus tells them, what the Father wills in heaven, that's what I'm cooperating with. Then Jesus adds to that. He says, in fact, speaking of this little miracle here, you haven't seen anything yet. Just as the Father raises the dead or gives life to whoever he wants, I'm going to do that. The Son has that authority also. And this is all too much for them. They really want to get rid of this Jesus. So what does that mean for us personally, though? Well, it means this. When you pray, not only is he there and on the job, but you're praying to the one who can meet any need you could ever bring up. He can do anything. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So no matter, you may think it, and isn't that weird that you think this is such a big problem, I have to control it. If it's that big a problem, let go of it. Say, God, you know I'm not just quitting. This is just beyond me. I can't do it. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm just going to do what you want me to do. Mop the floor? Fine. I will mop the floor. Nothing like a no-brainer job. Because this other stuff is too much. God says, I've got it. He's got the answers. He said, a squirrel is still a squirrel. Sometimes the answer is a squirrel. But Jesus still has all the answers. And we're to go to him for every need. But Jesus continues, verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Verse 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Third thing. Equality with God. They both deserve worship. They both deserve honor. Like the judge, like the one who judges. So the Son should receive the same honor, is what Jesus is saying. I should receive the same honor as the Father. Now, can you as a human being, a mere human being, comfortably say that? I don't care what your calling is. I'm not going to stand up here and go, you know, guys, I'm a pastor. I deserve the same honor as God. I would never want to say that. That's blasphemous. So they're right. If Jesus is a mere human, that's blasphemy. But Jesus is saying, I'm not a mere human. My Father, the one I am of the same DNA as, I'm doing just like him. D.A. Carson said this in commenting on this passage. Such a statement belongs either to one who is God or else one who is insane. Then he says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So now he's really getting pointed with them and saying, you claim to honor and worship God. But he who does not honor the Son does not honor God. You cannot honor God without honoring the Son.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in.